As we continue to look at the world of arts here in the times of COVID-19, a chance to reach out to an artist, an oboist, and also instructor at the University of Central Arkansas, and a friend from many years ago when we were both high school classmates back in our hometown of Flint, Lorraine Dusso-Kitts, a chance to talk with you today. And I hope, first of all, that this finds you, your family, well, and we certainly do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Yes, we are all healthy here. We're staying home and just trying to be safe and careful, good social distancing. So everything is going okay so far. Yes.
I wondered, first of all, just from the standpoint of so many of the folks we've been talking to with some of the arts organizations are here in and around Central and Northern Michigan, and we've got the connection to home, but as we said, you are in Arkansas, have been for many, many years, and I just wonder from the perspective of as things began to slow down or shut down at your university and with your primary organization there, the Arkansas Symphony, the chamber groups and so forth, when did all of that timeline kind of catch up with all of you there as we've now gone into so much of this stay home and be safe orders that we're under right now?
Well, for us, it started around mid-March, and we were coming up to our spring break. A week before our spring break, our spring break is around March 21st. And so we were getting the announcements from school, and my symphony was starting to email me, this is what is about to happen, we'll keep you posted. And then they just shut everything down, and the university asked us to be lenient against our for our students, you know, as we transition to the online courses. I teach a music appreciation course for non-music majors. And so I already had online material, so it was a pretty good transfer going from a classroom to the online course. And then my symphony, well, you know, every day we kept waiting. Were they going to close the concerts? Were they going to, what was the rest of the season going to be like? And so finally they told us by the end of March, you know, we're done. So we've been kind of just figuring out how could we contribute to our community. So we all came up with, our concertmaster came up with the idea of doing these bedtime stories with our instruments. And so we've been posting it on Facebook and on our Arkansas Symphony website.
How many concerts then have had to be at this point canceled, but or maybe, you know, potentially postponed, rescheduled? How many performances were left in the current season for the Arkansas Symphony now that has been that have been put on hold?
Well, we had about 2 months worth of concerts, and we have two masterwork concerts that were canceled, maybe three. I'd look at my calendar. And we also run out to certain towns in Arkansas. Our Russellville concert run out was canceled. We also have a side-by-side concert with our Arkansas Youth Orchestra at the end of the season, end of April. And that was canceled. And the Arkansas Symphony sits next to the Youth Orchestra musicians, and we play a huge concert. And very disappointed that was not to happen. And then we have our children's concerts and also our Pops concert. We had a Aretha Franklin concert scheduled, and right before, right when the virus was, you know, everything was shut down. So that's been postponed to October. Some of the concerts have been postponed to the fall. That was one of them. Our box office, we were able to credit many of our patrons, but some of our patrons wanted their money back, and so we had to refund them. So that's where we're at.
You mentioned the transition for the music appreciation class that was a little bit easier to do online. Is there other teaching that you or colleagues there at the university do with students, the private lessons? What has that whole experience been like working with the university students in this total transition to online and suspending all that face-to-face contact that we've had to do?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've had, you know, first of all, we had emails from our president guiding us on what we need to do, our president of our university. And I am also in a group chat with my teachers, my colleagues from the university, and we've been all, you know, trying to give each other support and ideas on how to do this online course and group chat and Zoom. Some of us are kind of struggling with this. Some are not used to doing online. They're only used to doing classroom material. And then my students, I've come across a lot of my students that, you know, they've had anxiety. Yesterday I just got an email from a student who asked for an extension on a deadline because she is a freshman and she's overwhelmed. She's got five classes, and then her grandfather, you know, contracted the virus. And so you just have to take it day by day, and each situation be very, very flexible and you know, take it for granted that, you know, they're being honest and they need help. So we're trying to be lenient as much as possible. I work with my students, and we're going back and forth, you know, on email. And my other students, I have my private students, applied studio lessons. We just got together last Friday for a studio class on Zoom. Zoom has just been, you know, the best tool for all of us, as well as Skype.
Do you think, Lorraine, that I mean, you mentioned the performances that have been moved, at least with the symphony schedule, into the fall, and obviously hoping that the university can reopen in full, either into the summer or certainly by the fall to bring students back. But I wonder about where you see things maybe coming back to normal. Has there been any thought of performances maybe where there will have to be less of an audience or a smaller ensemble that's spaced out in a different way? I just wonder about all of these different scenarios about how we will slowly begin to get back to normal, if you folks there have given any thought, or if people have been bringing up the ideas of, well, if we can't get everything back up and running, we could still do, you know, fill in the blank and maybe look at some things as an alternative as we move further down the road.
Well, we're in Arkansas, and our cases are a lot less than, like, Michigan. Last time I heard, we had 1,000 cases that were tested positive. And so we're very low. And so we're trying to, according to our governor, we're one of the few states that are leaving. We're a little bit more lax as far as closing things down. So we're kind of in this, I don't know if it's the right word, banana republic, where we are not as affected as other states. But still, there's that animosity, and nobody wants to say we're done for the fall. You know, we're not coming back in the fall. You know, my school, my university, we just received an email about budget cuts, of course, because of this virus. So we may have to freeze salaries and probably not hire part-time or adjunct. Very sad. And but as far as the orchestral season is concerned, we don't know. We're going as planned, and then we'll see what happens when we come back together in August.
Do you have much contact then with either the composition teachers on faculty or perhaps other composers that you've come in contact with and others within the arts community? I've been asking this as kind of a regular question with all folks I've talked to because I'm just curious as to, even though it seems like it's been such a long time, a fairly short period of time, but such a profound impact that this has had, and yet experiences like this always seem to lend themselves to expression and creativity coming out on the other side. We saw it certainly during and post 9/11. I mean, there's countless examples of this through history, and I wonder about what this has done to begin to shape the potential creative art of folks as we look at life post-crisis time.
I know, it's really interesting. I mean, especially on Facebook, I see so much creativity. But as far as composition is concerned, even our composer in residence at the university, he's already thinking about different compositions that he could put together, like a one-minute a piece for oboe and then a one-minute piece for flute and putting a big collage together one after the other. He emailed me the other day about that. And one of my students, actually, he's a bassoon slash composition major, and he designed a piece for three bassoons, and he's playing on, you know, he's playing each bassoon, you know, and he's recorded it. He cut and spliced it all together, and it sounds, it's an arrangement that he made of Ravel's Pavane. And it's really fascinating, even through this dark time, how people's students, teachers, professors, their creativity comes forward. I hope that's answered your question.
It does, and it reflects what seems to be a very common spirit amongst folks we're talking to, including you, Lorraine, because it speaks to the power of how the arts are sustaining and giving a lift and an inspiration, at times a respite, whatever people have needed during this time and will continue to need. The arts have been very much at the center of providing that for folks, and we're certainly grateful as we look at it, not only from our extended Michigan family that we reach, but we really, you know, now extending it to the whole arts world to include folks like yourselves that are persevering and carrying on and doing the best that we can right now, but certainly looking forward to bringing everyone back together when we can enjoy all of these things. We're certainly glad that you and your family and colleagues are doing well and keeping in good health, and certainly wish all the best as you move forward. And we'll see the works of art that will come and how that will all continue to touch and bless us and affect us moving forward. Thanks so much for taking the time to visit with us today. We do appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.